It is generally not the custom of the church to keep birthdays. In fact, of all the saints commemorated in our calendar, we keep but three feasts of Nativity: that of our Lord on Christmas Day, that of his mother, September the 8th, and that of John the Baptist today, June 24th. All the rest are commemorations of death. That is, that our normal practice is to commemorate an individual's passage from this life to the next, the return to the bosom of God. And we do also then keep the crucifixion of the Lord, the so-called falling asleep of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in August, the beheading of dear John the Baptist. But in their case alone, we also commemorate their movement from that other direction, their prior passage from that world into this, which is to say their birth. I wonder why. What is it about these three which suggests a departure from the norm? After all, you can't really eulogize somebody before they've made their mark. Well, in the first place, all three are intimately connected with the pivotal mystery of our Christian dispensation, which, of course, is the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus cannot die or rise again without first being born. He cannot be born without God having provided him a mother. And he cannot expect to gain a hearing apart from someone like John the Baptist, who tills the soil of people's hearts so that they are ready to receive Jesus when he comes and speaks. Would there have been a gospel if St. Paul or St. Peter had never been born? Undoubtedly. But there would not be a gospel apart from the births of Jesus, Mary, and John. So that's the first thing. But more than this, the church has come to see the hand of God in the birth of all three. There's an element of promise here that outstrips the already wonderful potential that any parent sees in their newborn infant. This is the promise of a divinely ordained destiny. And people, in the case of these three people, they suspect it from the very beginning. Like my mother, she took one look at me, and aside from mentioning that I looked like I had just lost the hike at the line of scrimmage, she said that. I've been told she said that. She hoped that I would grow up to be a responsible member of society. Zechariah looks at his little son and he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." And then he goes on, "You, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You'll go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." And you see what I mean? That is parental pride on steroids. But the point is, rightly so, there's a sense in which the celebration of a nativity sets before us, by definition, the theological category of promise, of anticipation. The truth is that much of what we claim for the Christian gospel and for the saving work of Jesus Christ is as yet, like John the Baptist today, in its infancy. It has been born in us. We are reborn, as we say. But it hasn't yet come to fulfillment, has it? Now, for some, the cognitive dissonance between what we profess and our littleness is enough to reject the claims of the gospel, even enough to profess atheism. But we see things differently. We see the dissonance not as a sign of failure, but of a promise in process. And because we see the hand of God in even our feeblest efforts, we're able to carry on in hope rather than pessimism. For me, it is precisely the not yetness of things that gets me out of bed in the morning. It's because we have not yet eradicated poverty or learned to bear with each other. It is because we have not yet loved our neighbor as ourselves or been made one with God in prayer. Crumb, it's because I have not yet chosen a Eucharistic prayer for next Sunday or perfected the Appoggiatura in Bar 48. That's the reason I get out of bed and I face each new day with new hope and intention. It's the not yetness of things that keeps me committed and at the table. The birth of John the Baptist, as of Jesus, as of Mary, places us face to face with promise. And since that promise has come from the hand of God, we keep Holy Day. And because the fulfillment of that promise remains in process, remains indeed in our hands, we keep faith. Amen.